So here we are, just a few short days removed from Venom 2, which means that it's once again superhero season. You know, superhero season is that time of year that happens way too often now when a new superhero movie is about to come out, and the listings and availabilities for certain superhero comics become more scarce than what they typically are.
I was waiting for the downside there. That makes sense. That's a downside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Happens so, all the time.
Which comic in particular has been hard to get your grubs on, my friend?
So this one is one that may not particularly be a result of Venom 2, okay, but Venom 2 certainly doesn't help it. Okay. And that is, there is a Spider-Man versus Venom omnibus, which of course has, I think, everything basically after Spider-Man, after the David Michelinie Todd McFarlane omnibus, or after the Todd McFarlane solo omnibus with Spider-Man, has everything from that up through the Venom arc with his solo omnibus, Venomnibus. Okay. Anyway, yeah, the Spider-Man versus Venom omnibus, man. This one came out, I don't remember when the Omni came out, maybe 5 years ago or so. Cool. As you can imagine, with most Spider-Man omnis, it didn't stick around very long. But just for shits and giggles, you know, it's like I inadvertently have started collecting more Spider-Man omnis. And I try to stay away from that simply because it's not because I don't like Spider-Man. It's because his shit, I just knew his shit is hard to get. So
his shit's popular.
His shit's popular. Yeah. So if you're a completionist, which what kind of collector isn't, then why start something that you know you may not be able to finish?
Yeah, because I can see your POV there, brother, mm-hmm, man, because at that point you are starting something that becomes like a maddening quest if you are trying to be a completionist of you know, even a particular character. If Spider-Man, yeah, is one of your characters of choice, congratulations. Your bookshelf will always have one vacancy of that book you just couldn't get your mitts on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because, like, the book Spider-Man versus Venom Omni, there is a listing. Like, you can still get the book. Don't get me wrong. If there's a will, there's a way. And people online know that. And people online know that there are desperate people out there who are completionists. Yeah. You can find the Venom versus Spidey Omni for about $300 to $400.
So, scalpers.
Yeah.
So, fucking comic book scalpers.
Okay. You know, scalpers is probably the most appropriate term. Yeah.
I would dare say so. Those fuckers. Yeah.
But see, on the flip side though, so let's say that okay, I have an Omni here that, you know, 3 or 4 years from now, out of print, it becomes extremely popular. No one can get it, and sure, I decide I want to sell it. That wouldn't.
First off, who the fuck are you? Because you're not Q. If you ever tell me, man, I'm gonna sell a book, I'm gonna be like, bitch, who are you?
That is also what makes me a shitty collector, because I never flip anything to get anything else. I keep everything that I buy.
I mean, I can kind of see that argument, but I would still also argue that if you're a collector, and for you particularly, because I know you, dude, right, you are a completionist. You are not a man of many.
Hobbies. I'm a loser. I know. That's why we started.
Well,
the podcast.
Knew you were a loser. I mean, look at us now. We're podcasting. I mean, come on, dude. Come on. But in other words, we reserve time to have a conversation and then to record said conversation. But you are not finicky about much. In fact, about a fucking 90% threshold of your life is you just like nonchalantly. Like, no lie, if I told you, bruh, tomorrow, I feel like we should get some pizza for dinner, you would probably be like, oh, okay, cool.
Let's do it.
Yeah. But then the next day, I could be like, bro, check it. I just brought some free food home, man, from work, all right? Let's sit down and eat this together. And you might not even been in the mood for it, but because I brought it home, you'd probably be like, all right, cool, I'll eat this shit. And then you'd probably eat whatever you want afterwards without even, you know, arguing. But that's because you're very mellow about that stuff. You're 90% just like, man, I'll go with the flow. The 10% is your comic collection. That is you saying, okay, I got this absolute, I got that absolute, I got this absolute. I can't not get the next book in non-absolute. It has to be the same continuation. Like, a great example, Sandman absolutes up here. You're not going to buy, first off, help educate me, help educate us. So, Sandman book 5, that is a thing?
Yes.
That is a thing. If I told you, bro, I just got my hands on a free copy of Sandman book 5, and I hold it out to you, and it's just like a standard floppy, you ain't going to look at that shit with grateful eyes. You're going to look at that and be like, oh, cool, thanks. And then you're still going to turn your ass around and buy the Absolute Edition, which, by the way, just, you know, to paraphrase for those who don't know, the floppy is like the standard comic book printing, but then you got the Absolutes, which is like the nice, oversized, this was made to brag about the beauty of the book printing from specifically DC labels, or in this case, DC Vertigo.
Right.
Yes. But... yeah, you'd look at that shit and be like, thanks, I guess. And I'd be like, yeah, you're welcome, dog. What's up, man? And you'd be like, well, time to go order the right one online because that's going to bug you and you're going to lose some sleep over it. And that's okay. So, yeah, I could argue that a collectionist might be a hustler of sorts where they're just like, yeah, I really want that Spider-Man book, so I'm going to give you these really awesome Dark Horse out-of-print books for that Spider-Man Marvel Spidey versus Venom book, you know, whatever the case may be. But I don't see you ever doing that because everything has to be in your collection. So you can't get rid of something that's counterintuitive. You're at the same spot. You ain't walking forward. You stood still.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess that there are different types of collectors.
There are, and that's totally fair.
And you know what, though? Because of the type of collector that I am, it's the reason why the other collectors exist and the reason why people can sell Spidey versus Venom for $300 to $400.
And in that particular case, going back to my earlier paraphrasing, I wouldn't say that they're scalpers because that's a book that they already had that they were going to have. It's not like that they were online with some fucking bot program.
Buying PS5s.
Microsecond buy shit. Right. You know,
That bullshit that people do. Yeah.
I actually looked recently, like a couple of days ago, I guess, on the PS5 craze. Nope.
Brother, I have some tragic fucking news, and I kid you not when I tell you this.
Okay. I mean, go ahead, tell me, dude. I mean, if my efforts are wasted, then they're fucking wasted.
Yeah. Well, both of ours, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Sony, you know, Sony, they send me emails because they have my actual personal email. I only check my email maybe once, my personal email maybe once a week because I don't really expect anything.
Yeah,
I missed two emails from them. One was kind of not really a warning, but a hey, let's get your attention. And then the second one was, hey, here it is, with them basically saying, hey, PSN subscriber, We do have more PS5s incoming, and we want to reserve one for you. So be sure to check out our website on this day. You have to use this link, and it'll take you to our store.
Okay.
And because of your, I guess my PSN membership or whatever, and because I'm subscribed or whatever, I could have gotten one, and that was apparently up for about 3 days, and I didn't see it, and there was only one per household. Unfortunately, at the time.
Well, that's the thing. Like, according to my PSN, we are not in the same household.
Oh.
Because, my PSN, but then again, I never checked that email.
The way it would have caught us was with the shipping, though. Because it wouldn't have been shipped. Unless you ship it to a different house, I guess. But,
yeah.
But anyways, so I could have, the link was legit. It was, but... Because I wasn't paying attention, I missed the opportunity, and now it's back to square one.
That's stupid, dude.
Yeah.
You know what's stupid? Not to, you know, damn or to speak ill of any corporation. I can't remember which website it was, actually, so never mind. I'm not even going to speak ill of them. I'm just going to speak of them in particular. I looked on a number of the most popular businesses you can imagine, like Target, Walmart, Best Buy, all those, GameStop. I don't remember which one, but one of them had it, quote unquote, on sale for $989 fucking dollars.
That'd probably be Walmart.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe you're right, because it was one of the last ones I tried, and yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But we went off the trails here, brother, man. I'm sorry you're having a hard time collecting your Spidey Omnis. That sucks, dude.
You know, to all the homies out there who are looking into getting into collecting comic books, one rule that I think I've said before, but it stands to be said again, and that is, when it comes to buying Omnis, my personal rule, I extend it to you guys, never pay more than the list price. In other words, never pay more than the price that is listed on the book. So the book is only worth 100, the book only is listed for 125, 150 bucks. Never pay any more for that. The reason being is because you could pay $400 for a book that you really want today, only for Marvel or DC to announce tomorrow that they're doing a reprint. So, and you got to remember, Omnis, actually any comics printed today, they're only worth as much as they mean to you, because there is no such thing as a book technically being in short supply or demand. You can't make a Detective Comics issue 27 today, or an Action Comics issue 1 today, or, you know, an Amazing Spider-Man issue 1 today, because the printing isn't the same. That's why those are so rare, because it is, you can't just remake those. It's not the same. You can remake anything today, though. Anything that's come out in the last 30 years, 30, 40 years,
yeah,
you can easily do. And so, like, the actual value of it really only depends on what it means to you.
So, brother man, let's keep walking down the rabbit hole, man. Let's take the right color pill here. You said something interesting, that you could reprint the comics of present, the comics, you know, published in, you know, mass production like they are today.
Right.
Why, in particular, is it easier for them to do so today than it is to do with the awesome comics of the yesteryears, the, you know, the Detective 27 and the Superman 1s and whatnot?
Yeah. So here's the thing.
Let's give a brief answer for the homies out there who also are trying to collect.
Yeah. So I guess let me start with this. I did kind of misspeak. They can and have reprinted those, but they are not worth a fraction of what, of course, the originals are. And that's for a couple of reasons. One, the paper quality, they were hand-drawn back then, the way that the books were put together. It's the same reason why if you have a fucking 69 Chevelle, like an original, but then you can go to somebody and who can refabricate the body and put it over a chassis.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like one, and it maybe even performs like one, but it's not the same.
It's not real.
Yeah. It's kind of the same thing with, like, a reprinted version of a comic that came out 80 years ago.
Right.
You know, may look good, and but, you know, then again, if it means a lot to you, then it's worth a lot to you. And that's kind of where all comics that come out today stand. You know, if it's valuable to you, then that's really what fucking matters.
So, brother man, I actually have in my shopping cart right now. I actually have Spider-Man versus Venom in my shopping cart right now. Oh, wow.
What a coincidence.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It really is. Yep. Oh. However, what you're telling me, and I was actually going to get this book to gift to you, my friend. Mm. You're telling me that I shouldn't have paid upwards of $800 for it.
Absolutely fucking not.
I was testing our friendship for a second, buddy. I'm proud of you. Good, good, good. Awesome. If you're about to tell me, yeah, dog, that's a good price. Like, well, wait a fucking minute. What did we just talk about? Brother, I wish I had that book in my cart for you, but I want you to know, if the price ever hit that many hundreds of dollars, it would never have even graced my cart. I would have had to say, oh, I got to close the internet. It's broken today.
Right, yeah. I don't want to risk anything thinking that I want to buy this.
No, exactly. I don't want to risk the Facebook algorithm to keep advertising this shit.
Right.
It's like, hey, Kevin, look at this. It's like some random-ass Batman comic book for $1,000. It's not even a collectible. It's just like a fucking random book. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, Fun stuff, man.
Yeah.
Cool facts to go over.
Yeah. You know, always interesting state.
Indeed.
But with that being said, homies, welcome back to the Superhero Homies Podcast. My name is Quentin, and as always, I am here with the homie Kevin.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what is going on? I hope you all have had a fantastic week. And yeah, we're here ready to do this shit again. Let's run it.
Absolutely.
Amen.
We are here to do our preview episode of Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage.
Indeed.
Yes. This is going to be, I think, a very fun episode. I've been having a lot of fun with our preview episodes that we've been doing lately.
Yeah, dude. Same here, man. Same here. There's been some fun gambling, especially for the movies of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've had some very tasteful, very unique ones, you know. New projects almost on both platforms, both common platforms at least of, like, well, never mind. We haven't had a lot of DC yet. Never mind. I'm going to shut up.
Yeah. But with Venom 2, it'd be Carnage. That's right. Subtitle and everything.
Guys, I'm going to shorthand the fuck out of that. Venom 2. you know the rest.
Let it be Carnage.
Venom 2.
Let it be Carnage.
Venmo. You got to Venmo that $15 for that pizza, buddy.
Mm. If I don't.
Venom 2.
Let it be Carnage.
That was pretty good. That got me, guys. It got me pretty good. Anyways, what the fuck are you about to say, man? I can't even remember what the Venom 2 you're about to say, man. I have no idea.
Let it be Carnage.
Good shit. It's like you just slur it out, just like, let it be Carnage.
Oh, you got to get it out there. Hey, you know, Sony, you guys should think, I'm doing the legwork for you, okay?
Yeah. Bro, really, we've been doing the legwork for like four years at this point. That almost is true. Five. Closer to five now.
Closer to five. Very much closer to
Holy
five.
Holy fuck.
Like a few weeks.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of snuck up on us this year.
Homies, we did not even fucking think about that. Whoa.
Oh,
we
shit.
We have to plan something.
We do.
Wow, five years.
Hey, homies, you got to just plan us a party this year.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Anywho, what I had in mind for our preview episode of Venom 2, what I kind of want to do first is maybe talk a little bit about the canonical roots for Carnage and Venom, a little bit of their background, their history, and then talk about, of course, what we expect and what we want to see from Venom 2.
Okay.
All right, then. So, with Venom 2, obviously the star of the show is going to be Carnage.
I don't believe it.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I'm going to bed.
Oh.
You lie.
And Carnage is, I think he's one of those figures who most people, you know, in the nerd landscape, at least they know, like they see the red one and they're like, oh yeah, that one's trouble.
That one's trouble.
That one's trouble.
Really, I think anyone who looks at a symbiote should look and see and probably say the same damn thing. Like, oh, that one's trouble.
Yeah.
Like even Spider-Man Black Suit, when he had like the symbiote helping him out for a short window, that one's trouble. Anywho.
Yes. As far as his origin goes, there's technically two first appearances here for any of you guys who want to check those out.
That technically doesn't make sense.
Oh, because there's one for Cletus Cassidy and one for Carnage. Just like there's one for Eddie Brock, and then there's one for...
Okay. So let's go into them in class order.
Yes, so Cletus Cassidy actually made his first appearance in Amazing Spider-Man issue 344 back in March of 91, but Carnage, as far as like the bonded symbiote to Cletus, wouldn't appear until Amazing Spider-Man issue 361 in 1992.
That's a lot of issues in between.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, an interesting kind of side note here as well is that Carnage himself almost wasn't created. There's a lot of fun facts I was able to find about Carnage, a lot of which I didn't know previously. Like for example, I did not know that Carnage almost wasn't even fucking made. The original concept was to have Eddie Brock essentially be killed off, and they were going to use the Venom symbiote and just put on a different host. So maybe he'd be on one host for a certain period of time, and then he'd be put on a different host and so forth and so on. And maybe Cletus Cassidy would have just been one of those hosts that the Venom symbiote would have been on.
Admittedly, that kind of makes sense to me, because the symbiote cannot be good for the human body. You can only imagine what that thing is doing to your organs.
Oh, as far as it killing, or it wasn't going to kill Brock. They don't really know how they were going to do it, but Eddie Brock was going to die fashion.
Okay. I mean, that would have been an easy write-off. Like, man, go figure, having a fucking symbiote is really bad for the human heart.
Well, if you look at, though, like any kind of parasite, the parasite doesn't want to kill you because it eats you.
True. I mean, there's got to be enough parasites out there, because, I mean, there's way too many parasites in the world. Not to be philosophical, but no, literally, like, there are so many different species classified as parasites that they're, like, the most common type of, like, I would say predator? Not technically. They're so common in the world. Mm-hmm. But I'd imagine there's definitely a few that are, like, parasitic to the point of, and I got everything I need from you. Fuck you, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I ain't no, you know,
parasitologist.
I'm sorry?
Parasitologist.
Parasitologist. Yeah. I feel like you've made that fucking up. Go to bed!
Oh, shit.
Paris.
But,
I was going to say zoologist, but parasitologist.
Yes.
Well, homies, welcome to our episode tonight focused on the ever so real, not fictional, not made up science of parasitology. Mm-hmm. We will be speaking with Dr. Q and myself, Dr. Kevin, two PhDs.
Yep.
No questions.
Each.
And each. Yep. There you go. And parasitology.
Parasitology. Yep. 101. Anyway, they decided to not kill Venom, wouldn't you know it, because he was extremely fucking popular. And they were like, we like money, and we don't like shooting ourselves in the fucking foot. So how about we don't kill off Eddie Brock? And we keep the Venom symbiote on him. That seems to make the most sense. He is extremely popular, just like we actually spoke about last week on our Reading Corner episode. Venom became extremely popular really quick. And so they decided, well, if that's the case, then we have to figure out a way to introduce a new symbiote while keeping the same one we have with Eddie. And so enter Cletus Cassidy. Now, a few really fun facts here about Cletus Cassidy. He's a fucking psychopath. Mm-hmm. First and foremost.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
And, you know, I can almost imagine the boos and maybe even, like, the judgment that might appear from the back of the class. Because I might be wrong on this, and I totally accept that this might be a question coming out of some bullshit. But I don't know. Hence why I'm asking it. Help me understand, brother. I heard a rumor that Cletus Cassidy was written to almost paraphrasingly mirror Joker from DC. Now, I don't know if that is a fan-made comparison or if that was legit. Joker seems to be doing pretty well. We don't have a psycho like that. Let's write one. What's the truth there?
So there is definitely some truth to it, but the degree of it, to me, is unknown. Okay. It was Eric Larson, the person who drew Cletus, who really spoke most about it.
Okay,
and,
good.
And from what I was able to gather from what he had said, it seemed to be mostly from a aesthetic point of view. Because if you look at a drawing of Cletus Cassidy, which I can show you, he does look very similar to...
Let's pull that out.
He does look very similar to a lot of the ways that Joker was drawn back in the late 80s. Like, if you picture Joker from, say, The Killing Joke, which is a late 80s book, and then you look at Cletus Cassidy, you see that, man, yeah, he looks... There are a lot of similar looks, especially if you go to, like, his earlier appearances.
Okay.
Well, I'm finding plenty of carnage here.
Well, that's funny. You're finding a lot of carnage. Shit's broken.
Yeah.
Destruction. I saw one image that actually kind of sold it for me.
Yeah,
it was a couple pages back where he's like smiling, and it's like they give him almost like an extra wide jawline just to be able to smile on such a... That one right there.
That's
the one I saw where it's like he's like... It's uncanny. Like the curliness of the hair.
The more slender build. The shape of the jaw. The
pointed jaw.
Pointed jaw. There's... there's a lot going on there. And what's funny, is that, back in the 80s, a lot of the Joker drawings were mirrored, or I don't want to say parody, but they were kind of based on David Bowie. And what's more funny is that, because Carnage appearance, or Cletus Cassidy, his appearance, at least, is based off the Joker, because he is more human looking than Joker. He looks more like David Bowie to me than even the Joker does. So it's kind of funny how that came about.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Man. But David Bowie,
man, holy fuck, he's been so instrumental
in a lot of pop culture. Yeah.
Oh man, I wonder if he knew that. Anywho,
Rest in peace, David Bowie. It is also interesting, though, because on some level, they had to have known that Cletus, his mentality and his way of thinking does also strongly resemble that to the Joker. Mm. And so that's what leads a lot of people to think that he was not only just aesthetically based off the Joker, but also from a more psychological standpoint as well.
Yeah.
And I completely see that being a thing.
I mean, if it looks and quacks and, laughs and tries to kill like a duck.
Man, let me tell you, there are a shit ton of coincidences in the realm of comic books.
I sensed the quotations around coincidences.
Yes.
Like, it was thick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, again, a few years ago, we did an episode about, I forget it was called, like, Superhero Copycats or Plagiarism, something like that, about characters who mirrored each other from Marvel and DC, who even came out around the same time, whether it be Swamp Thing and Man Thing, Taskmaster and Deathstroke versus Deadpool, Namor and Aquaman. I mean, like, there's just so... Nova versus Green Lantern. There's so many. Doom Patrol versus X-Men.
Nova versus Green Lantern was a fun episode. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good subject.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. And it's like, okay, I know that you guys are talking amongst each other. That's got to be, that's definitely a thing. Especially back then, how Marvel and DC would speak more openly with each other. Back when they would actually cooperate back then. We get a lot more crossovers back then. You don't get any of that today.
Bro, you just like opened my mind hole for the books that we used to get. Mm-hmm. I remember there was one Marvel versus DC book that you and I both rented out. It was the same exact book from our high school library.
Yeah.
The Amalgam. It was super cool, dude.
Yeah.
It was a great little concept. Wolverine killed Lobo.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense.
As much as I am a Wolverine fanboy.
Yeah, no. It was, and especially also since that was Wolverine with the bone claws as well. I'm like, this does not.
Robin and Jubilee hit it off, which, okay.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't fight. They fucked, you know.
Batman's just like, yeah, Robin, go do the wrestling. Wait, that's not wrestling.
Yeah. Anyways, so a little bit here about Cletus Cassidy. He is a very murderous, nihilistic psychopath. And there are reasons why he thinks that. And his origin is hilariously fucking dark. Like, I feel that David Michelinie, that's the writer who penned Cletus. Mm-hmm. I feel like he just threw every dark, morbid fucking thing at the board and said, that is his origin. They're like, which one? all of us.
No. I'm pointing to the board. Yeah. I'm not pointing to one thing. This is his story. And everyone in the room said, oh.
So when Cletus was just a young boy, he pushed his grandmother down a flight of stairs and killed her. While his mother was taking a bath, he threw a TV in the bathtub and tried to kill his mom. It was unsuccessful. He did succeed in killing his mom's dog. His mother then tried to kill him. And there's at this point where Child Protective Services came and took young Cletus, put him in an orphanage for young boys. And this is where he became a reformed, upstanding citizen. No, this is... This is when shit goes from terrible to god-awful.
Okay.
So this is when he murders one of the teachers there. He eventually musters up the courage to ask a girl out on a date, one who he really admires and likes.
Okay.
She's so taken aback because he's so fucking socially awkward that she laughs in his face. And he retaliates the way that any young boy would. He pushes her in front of a moving bus. he was also bullied a lot when he was in this all-boys school. That's important to note. But one of the last things she did in the school was he burned it down because you can't do anything else in a building or facility that is burnt down to the ground. So, yeah. And this is really where the foundation for his nihilism came from.
And then he turned 13. I don't know, actually, but I would not be surprised at this point. Wow. First off, who fucked him up? Who made him so, like, who misled this young man and gave him such a negative experience that he became this way? Like, man, that grandma must have been mean to him or something. And no, don't mishear me. I'm not justifying, oh, it's not his fault. He was raised wrong, nature versus nurture. Mm-hmm. No, he was clearly a hell spawn from the womb.
Right.
Clearly.
Yeah. This man had some serious trouble. And then, when you know it, Kevin, afterwards, he would grow up to adulthood to become a serial killer. Like, holy shit. Who saw this coming? And he's in prison for the murder of 11 people. So I remember reading 11 people. But it's funny because he goes, 11, I murdered at least a dozen more.
And, that's a serial killer. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, you caught me for how many, Your Honor? 11? He's like surprised. Right. It's like a man that like expected full change when he gave a 5 to register, but he only got like a couple ones. Like, you're missing most of it.
Yep. And so he is in prison. He's put on the raft, the good old fucking raft. No, actually, I think he's taken to Rikers at this point.
Such a reliable prison. There's never stories about how people break out of there.
Let me tell you. But what is interesting is that while he is imprisoned, his cellmate is none other than Eddie Brock. And at this point, obviously, Eddie had been separated from the symbiote, which is how they fucking got his ass in a prison.
Makes most sense.
Yeah. And while he's here in this prison, he and Cletus, they don't get along at all.
What the fuck?
Yeah. And it's actually Cletus who is secretly fashioning a shank. He's just going to fucking kill Eddie.
Well, why not? I mean, it's obviously worked so well for him before. 30-something times.
And now, because of the relationship between Eddie and his symbiote, there was almost like... there is definitely, of course, a bond there, but his symbiote is going to do whatever it takes to keep Eddie alive. And the symbiote does break free from its encagement, and it makes its way to Eddie, and it rebonds with him. But when it bonds with Eddie again, of course, we are Venom. But as Venom then makes his escape, he does leave behind a small piece of himself. And now what's interesting here is that Cletus, during this escape that Venom made, Cletus is cut
He is accidentally cut, and he's, you know, just a very minor injury. But with this small piece of symbiotic tissue that's left, which is technically an offspring of Venom, all the symbiotes reproduce asexually. It doesn't happen very often, but when they do, you know, well, there you go. But with this little piece of symbiotic tissue, it then bonds with Cletus. Now, what's interesting is that it bonds with Cletus not in the same fashion that previous symbiotes have bonded with Eddie or Peter. This doesn't bond with the skin. This bonds with him through the blood cells on a molecular level. Okay. And so the bond between Cletus and the Carnage symbiote is a little bit different than most symbiotic relationships. And that is the birth of Carnage. Carnage is, yes, by all definitions, the child or offspring of Venom.
Makes sense whenever you look at it from like a technical standpoint, where it's like, if we universally decide and agree upon that the sludge left over from Venom in breaking out of Rikers was offspring, and yes, that does, in my mind, also mean a baby Venom, then such a baby, such a parasite wouldn't be strong enough to bond via externally. It would have to bond internally through red blood cells, thus creating a red
symbiote
rather than the icky, like, black ichor venom. Yeah, which is dope. Which is cool.
Yeah, very much so. And that is actually one of two reasons why I personally suspect that that Carnage has always been more of a threat to both Venom and Peter.
Because of a mentally unstable and also a, quote, like younger symbiote, essentially? Or more malleable symbiote, maybe?
Kind of. Like the theories I had were that reason A is because, for the most part, symbiote offsprings tend to be stronger than their predecessors. And if you think about it, that does tend to track. Look at how the symbiote was with Peter, and when it left Peter and got with Eddie, it took over everything that it had learned and experienced from Peter onto Eddie. And now it has the traits of Eddie on top of the traits of Peter.
Okay.
And then with the offspring, it has all of that and then more going on to a new host with this.
I mean, from that standpoint, I can see what you're talking about and agree with it. But it's like, there's only a few species. I don't know. I'm thinking about it fictionally, too, where it's like there's only certain like super entities that make sense that they would be more powerful than like their older, more mature, more experienced predecessors. For example, like I think of like one comparison I remember reading about is Superman versus Supergirl, you know. People were saying that Supergirl was, like, her punches would actually hit harder than Superman's at times. And that's because, like, nah, bruh, Superman ain't weaker for shit. He just knows how to hold back more.
Right, whereas Kara doesn't.
Exactly, yeah. And so that's kind of more what I was thinking here. But that ain't the case with Venom. He's right. Like, man, I don't give a fuck to hold back.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's interesting that such a lore exists, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the second reason why I think that Carnage has always been more of a threat is because of how the symbiote bonded with Cletus. It bonded, again, on a molecular level, not on a skin-to-ichor level.
That makes sense, because they're more in unison that way.
Right.
That makes sense to me. I like that more.
Yeah, the bond is much stronger, and the bonding process happens much quicker.
And much more permanently. Like, you got to get, Richard?
You read Richards?
No. Crazy asshole. The Void.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Century.
Century! Yeah. You gotta get this, a fucking Century to rip you apart.
You Robert Reynolds. Had you thought of another R name, you may have...
Right, Robert Reynolds, and I said Richard. Damn it. Well, he is a dick. He's not a dick. He's so misunderstood. Anyways.
He's very misunderstood.
Even to himself.
Yes. And so that is the origin there of Carnage. And now when Carnage came on the scene,
he was so damn strong that when he fought Spider-Man, Spider-Man didn't stand a goddamn chance. And this was the first time I could be misspeaking here, but I'm pretty sure this is the first time that Spider-Man and Venom had to team up to take down a threat. And they teamed up to take down Carnage. And they were able to use a sound-emitting weapon to disable Carnage. Interestingly enough, it'd be sometime much later in Marvel Comics lore, that Carnage would eventually develop an immunity of sorts to fire and sound.
Ain't that some shit?
That's straight up some shit. Yeah. Cletus Cassidy is a psychopath. The Carnage symbiote. So symbiotes as a whole, they do alter the personality. It's not typically a super extravagant change, but these symbiotes, they do almost kind of peer into your deepest desires, into the person who maybe you want to be, and they do kind of drag you into kind of murky waters. And so your personality will alter if you have a symbiote attached to you. If you're aggressive, you'll be more aggressive. You're going to be more aggressive, period. But if you have aggressive traits, then they're only going to be, accented even more. And so that's a little bit about Carnage. So obviously, you know, we don't have to spend a lot of time on Venom. We covered him 3 years ago. But, of course, with Venom, Eddie Brock made his first cameo in Amazing Spider-Man 298. Venom made his first cameo in Amazing Spider-Man 299, made his first full appearance in Spider-Man issue 300. Woo. And I believe all those were in 1988. But, of course, with Venom, the first movie, which came out back in 2018, was based loosely on the Lethal Protector arc. And in there, that's when we see, what's his name? Carlton
Fuckface.
Carlton Fuckface. That's exactly his name. It'll come to me sometime when it's no longer important. But when the CEO of the Life Foundation.
Mr. Yeah. Riot.
He was Riot in the movie. Yeah, he was the one who bonded with Riot in the movie, whereas of course in the comics, it wasn't. It was
Riot was almost an unnamed, like, 1-2 panel character.
So the original Lethal Protectors, with the exception of Scream, none of them really stuck around much longer. Scream was the only one who really endured.
Yeah.
But yeah,
was that the yellow or the pink symbiote?
She was like the yellow oranges one.
There it is.
Yep.
It was interesting to me that each of them got a different color.
Yeah, you got a different gender somehow, I guess.
Yellow got a hold of the piss. Pink, I don't know. I guess the tongue. There you go.
Yeah. So there were five symbiotes that the Life Foundation that they were able to extract by torturing Eddie and his symbiote, and they're able to use those distractions to make symbiotic life forms of their own and bond them to different people. And those five entities were, they were technically other offsprings of Venom. I'm trying to remember some of those good old fucking 90s names they had. Of course, there was Riot, we already mentioned Scream. There was Thrasher, Agony, and Phage. There we go.
Yeah. Wait, what was the last one?
Phage. Phage.
Phage?
Yeah.
Everyone else makes sense, but what is Phage?
It's 90s.
90s cringe. Like, that's got to mean something.
It looks like a word, but I don't know. Phage.
Oh, that's actually kind of clever. I'll give that to them. That's the shorthand of what's called a bacteriophage, also known informally as a phage.
Oh.
It's a virus that can infect and replicate within a bacteria and archaea. I choose how to say that. That's how I chose it. Archaea.
We will take it.
Yes. But either way, it is... Damn, that's a fucking powerful virus.
Shit.
Yeah. It can replicate within bacteria?
Damn.
That's Yeah.
That could have been a cool character, but never mind. Marvel's just like, eh, Venom was more popular, moving on.
Yeah, you don't want too much of a good thing. And I feel like they recognized that. They were like,
well, to a certain extent, how many spider people do we have?
They recognized that with the symbiotes. With the symbiote.
I was about to say, like, well, I mean, let's give them some prep, you know, some props, excuse me, and maybe some healthy critique.
Yeah, well.
As is our fun duty.
Yep. Other fun facts, by the way, Carnage was not going to be the original name. It is rumored that the original names they had in mind were either going to be Chaos or Ravage. But in the end, they decided to go with Carnage, which is kind of a mixture of the two.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that is both of their ideas literally fused together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah. And it worked out in the long run.
I also didn't mention this. It's also important to mention that Carnage was created by David Michelinie, of course, as the writer. But the artists were both Eric Larson and Mark Bagley. And the reason there were two artists is because Eric Larson was the one who first drew Cletus Cassidy, whereas Mark Bagley is the first person to draw Carnage.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Fair.
And now Eddie and Carnage, they've battled several times throughout their course in comic book history. And Carnage, in particular, out of Carnage, Venom, and Spider-Man, Carnage overall has fared the least as, you know, in comparison. And, you know, and that's just because of a lot of things. There was the, first of all, the timing for Carnage, I think, was wrong. Carnage was a huge hit, don't get me wrong. He sold fucking shitloads. And there was even a fucking video game he had called Maximum Carnage, which was loosely based off of the famous storyline called Maximum Carnage.
Okay.
You know, so there was a lot of hype behind Carnage, a lot of fanfare. Okay. But as you and I both discussed in previous episodes, there was also the huge comic book industry bust of the 90s as well, when Marvel Comics damn near went bankrupt. And they had to roll back how many titles they had. They had, it was over 100 different titles at that time that they had. And when the industry damn near burst, you know, and they had to sell the rights to these characters, you know, just to kind of stay afloat, they reeled things back in. And then kind of the next time we see Carnage in any kind of meaningful fashion is when he's being ripped apart by the Sentry on the raft at the beginning of Brian Michael Bendis' New Avengers run. And then, yeah, and he had like little tidbits of runs here and there, but they were always just kind of mini series that never really, they didn't capture the same hype or attention that Carnage had in the 90s. And if you ask me, it really wasn't until about two and a half years ago with the Absolute Carnage series where Carnage really again came back into the forefront as a fucking lethal threat. Who should definitely be taken more seriously and put into the spotlight.
I noticed that is one of the omnis you do have over here, the Absolute Carnage collection here.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if that embodies all of it. This, I don't know. I don't know if there's like a book two or something.
So that does pretty much embody everything concerning the Absolute Carnage arc. If there's one downfall to it, I would say that as good as that story is, it does just kind of lay the groundwork for Noel, and of course, Noel is a character who we talked about during our Silver Surfer Black review.
I was about to say, Noel was the,
he's the symbiote god of the
symbiote.
Yes.
Yeah, which is such a cool concept.
Yes.
I wonder if we'll get a Noel Easter egg. I highly doubt it. Ain't no one, in that production house has the balls to do that.
That would be most interesting.
Right? Like, ain't no way we're going to hear Venom telling Eddie, oh, sweet Noel, that one's red, you know? Like, he ain't going to do that.
Oh, shit. If he did, though.
First off, Venom believes in a god.
First of all, Venom would be,
Venom would be theological, which is interesting for a symbiotic creature.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That'd be something else if they did.
But also, more importantly, that means that they would have canonically mentioned Noel.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Mm-hmm. But anywho.
And I guess one more fun fact, in the Silver Surfer Black book, which we reviewed a few months ago, I highly recommend you guys both listening to the episode and reading the comic. It's an amazing six-issue miniseries. I really fucking dug it.
That talks about some very cool above-the-bar shit that Marvel did. And it's not that old, is it?
No.
When was this published?
I think originally it was published maybe 2018.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's baby young.
Yeah.
Baby young. 2 years old. That's a toddler. Actually, what is a fucking toddler? Three,
yeah.
Ask the gentlemen who have no kids.
When they can toddle, of course.
Go ahead and define that verb, everybody.
Look at that toddler just toddling.
Toddling around.
He learned how to toddle.
With his toddling hands.
But another fun, interesting fact there is that, in the Silver Surfer Black, when we, see Noel, and he's just this fucking badass character.
Yeah.
He gives chase to the Silver Surfer on this symbiotic dragon known as Grendel. And what's interesting here is that in the Absolute Carnage series, the reason why Cletus is so powerful is that he has his symbiote is a piece of that Grendel symbiote.
That's cool.
Yeah, and of course Grendel is one of the oldest of all the symbiotes, so that was just a really cool touch there. Mm. That is a little bit of history about. Carnage there. And I guess I'll just say one more thing here about Venom, and then we can get into kind of some of our thoughts, theories, and feelings about what we think is going to happen in this movie here.
Yeah.
But as far as the origin for Venom, as we all know, and as you guys have heard us gripe about, the Venom movie did kind of skip over the true origin of Venom and kind of gave us some kind of convoluted, kind of sloppily put together.
Yeah. Fun to watch, but when you think about it outside of the big screen.
The only reason we gripe about it so much is because it pales in comparison to how awesome the actual origin of the character is. And what originally happened is that Eddie Brock was a journalist for the Daily Bugle, and he was following a series of murders that was done by this serial killer known as the Sin Eater. And he thought he was onto something because he had started getting some correspondence from a gentleman who claimed to be the Sin Eater. And so Eddie started corresponding with this guy, getting information from him and piecing together clues that, holy shit, yeah, this guy's telling the truth. He is the Sin Eater. And Eddie, he runs with this story and he gets it published, and Eddie, who was already established a pretty decent sized name for himself, is now going to be like fucking, world renowned for finding the serial killer and exposing him.
Yeah, he just got a Pulitzer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening is that Spider-Man finds the real Sin Eater, and come to find out, the person that Eddie had been corresponding with was just one of those weird people who wants the infamy of being a serial killer but isn't really one of them.
Yeah.
That's who Eddie was corresponding with. He wasn't really talking with the real Sin Eater, the real serial killer. Yes, Spider-Man found the real one. And, of course, that ruined Eddie's credibility because without doing the thorough fact-checking that he should have, he wanted to be first, he wanted to be right, and so he ran with what he thought was, a good story, and turns out to not be.
Right.
And, of course, we also have to remember that shortly before the events of the Sin Eater arc is when we have the iconic moment when Peter is separating himself from the symbiote, his original black suit symbiote. And he does so in the church tower, and the bells ring and it causes the symbiote to yell out in pain and separates itself from Peter. Peter thinks that is dead. Fast forward now to after Eddie's life has all but fallen apart. He's divorced from his wife. And he's lost his gig, he's lost his reputation, and now at this point, Eddie Brock is in this church, and he is basically wanting vindication
for what he feels Peter Parker has done to him.
What a prayer. Also, was that a pun? Because that was the title of the lame-ass, like, super emo song that they used for Spider-Man 2. Which, ironically, would have been a piss-poor choice of pun because Venom wasn't introduced until Spidey 3. You're welcome.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. You're welcome. Wow. Here I am.
Here you are.
Conspiracy theorist. Where's the red yarn? Where's the red yarn?
While there, the symbiote is, in fact, still alive, and it's not dead like Peter thought it was.
Surprise.
And the symbiote senses the hate that Eddie has for Peter, and the symbiote is like, oh, I hate this motherfucker, too. And so, of course, it sees Eddie as a good host, and those two bond. And, of course, that's when we get Venom.
In the background, they're saying the song, they're singing it to each other. With you, with me and you with me. As they, like, fucking eat people. You know?
That does remind me of something else.
What's up?
You know, earlier tonight when you came in, I was rereading through some parts of the Lethal Protector arc. Okay. You know, just to kind of refamiliarize myself with some of the elements from Venom and his solo series and kind of how he functioned there.
Yeah, like you said, he was actually, even outside of New York.
Yeah, he was in San Fran. And that is where Venom 1 does take place at, in San Fran. but one thing, like, most of this, you know, this stuff already kind of rang familiar and, you know, it was just a refresher course. But one thing that I had forgotten about that David Michelinie certainly made a point to show us was just how humorous Venom is. Like, right from the beginning, you see Venom try so hard to turn over a new leaf, but he really fucking sucks at it.
I remember this panel. And it's great. He's like giving the purse back to the lady. Yeah, he's like a fucking Hulk. Right. He's like,
here you are. Here you go. No need to thank me.
No need to thank us. We are Venom. You know? Yes.
Yeah, as he just killed the person who robbed this lady.
And she's just like running off screaming.
And yes. And then, you know, as Venom is swinging away, he's like, man, you're right. It does feel good to do nice things. And like, you just killed a person.
He's like, no, bro, you killed and probably ate him. Yes. Did he eat him? There would be a way to get rid of the body.
Yeah, it would be, but yeah, I don't think he ate him. I think he just killed him.
I mean, okay.
Yeah. It was kind of ambiguous how the guy died. But yeah,
nastily,
yeah, and like another fucking funny moment here is that remember the five symbiotes I mentioned earlier, like Phage and Thrasher and Agony and Riot and Scream, those guys. So when they're introduced,
on Cupid, on Donner, on Blitzen,
there you have it, the symbiote reindeers.
But do you recall the angriest one of them all?
No.
No, that's the god. Yeah, yeah. This is Carnage.
Oh, yeah.
The red skinned symbiote.
Carnage the red skinned symbiote.
Actually, there's got to be a better name for that. Carnage the red blood symbiote. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to say red skin. Come on.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You probably shouldn't do that.
Amen.
Probably should not do that. But yeah, it was during this part. Spider-Man is in the picture now for the Lethal Protector storyline. And Eddie Brock is without his symbiote because the Life Foundation has stripped him of it. And so Eddie's trying to make his way back to the symbiote. He's temporarily teamed up with Spider-Man. But during their way, they are encountered by these other five symbiotes that work for the Life Foundation. So they're kind of fucked. And Peter goes, all right, Eddie, you want to stand back? And Eddie goes, no, I got this. And Eddie, butt-ass naked, no symbiote, he stands out in front of the other five and goes, he says something to the effect of, all right, you are my children. You are of my offspring. So you come to me again and we'll make things right. And then they beat the shit out of him. And he goes, oh, well, that didn't work.
And without taking a breath. And then they beat the shit out of him.
Like, oh, I should have seen that one coming.
Spider-Man's just watching like, I'm going to give it another minute of ass whooping. Maybe he hasn't realized yet.
But there are a lot of actual comedic moments that Venom has.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a little bit, guys, about Carnage and about Venom from their canonical roots.
Yeah.
their origins and their times against each other and whatnot. So now, Venom 2, which is coming out in just a few short days, October 1st.
Wow.
Yes.
We got to get our tickets, bro.
We do. We got to go ahead and get our tickets.
You listening. You got to get
your tickets. You got to get
your tickets. You got to get your tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
Go do that shit. Do Not it. Right now. Do it after you listen.
Do it after you listen. Or just
and
pause.
And do it after you review us, too, please. You know, it's been a while since we plugged that.
Exactly. After you guys give us a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Then, feel free to go get your tickets. Sony, give us a 5-star review for plugging your movies.
I mean, damn, all these studios. Yeah. But then Disney's like, bitch, how many times have you complained about our shit? It's like,
only about the shitty things. All right. So we've actually bigged you up, Marvel, way more than we've dished you.
Hell yeah. Way more. This is so true. Yeah. Get that shit hot. Come on.
So, you've seen the trailers for Venom 2. What are your thoughts and feelings on this movie?
So first out the gate, we definitely need to talk about this. Now that the attention has segued from the comic book standpoint and the POV of the actual canonical material, the stuff that really made the character who he is today, movie worthy to be spent money on for such a production, into now what the fuck we actually think the movie's going to do, which unfortunately are very different discussions. So... I will be optimistic, however, because one, I think this is going to be a fun movie. Yeah. Venom 1 was a fun movie.
It was.
Albeit problematic with its canonical material and with how they used Venom overall. One, I'm very happy to hear that the writings of David Mussolini was actually pretty comical. I'm happy to hear that that's actually, somewhat, in the roots of the pages themselves, which makes me actually... more relaxed with how I know this movie, and here's my real thoughts, or my continued thoughts, excuse me, they're all real thoughts. It comforts me to know that there's comedic roots in the comics as well for parts of Venom's life, because I know this movie is going to do a lot of what the first movie did. Mm-hmm. It's going to make comedic what is originally a very dark and antagonistic character.
Yeah.
But I really like the idea of what they're doing in the movie just because it sold pretty well for the first one, obviously, it sold well enough if they warranted a sequel. I think they're going to do the same thing, so where there's going to be a lot of joke-making, a lot of fun, comedic, hilarious moments. But at the same time, I think there's going to be a lot of Eddie is... the good guy, because we have to have our protagonist,
Yeah, it's so hard to talk about this Venom's shortcomings without mentioning, kind of some of the same shit that's hard to not mention.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, the Spider-Man sized elephant in the room. It's so hard to appreciate Eddie that on too. His come up. It's so hard to appreciate Eddie trying to be a redeemable character when we haven't seen him in that villain light yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to redeem a character who you don't know yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason for Venom to look the way he does right now. Besides, that's the way he looked in the pages.
Well, I mean, and then there's like the glaring, obvious, missing giant spider symbol on the chest. We don't have the emblem on the chest.
Oh, no, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like a blank,
open veiny torso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no webbing because to Sony's slight defense, at least they know well enough to not have any spider abilities on him, because how the fuck could he?
Right.
And unfortunately, that means that Carnage also won't have any. Mm-hmm. But at least with Carnage, they can do a lot more of the shape-shifting that he likes to do.
And we see that in the trailers.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited for that, because Carnage was very outside of the bounds of just like keeping to a human form.
Mm-hmm.
Venom was always more in the human, large man, grotesque form.
Yeah.
He did some shape-shifting. Carnage, however, was much more sporadic. And that's very fun. And again, very chaotic. Hence the origin names.
You know, he makes a lot of blades with his appendages and whatnot. I think that you know, like this movie, it one advantage that it has over the first Venom movie is that it doesn't have to go through the messy, ugly, stitched together origin story. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I honestly don't envy the writers on Venom 1. They had a tough job. I would hate for someone to see me in the room and say, hey, write a Venom screenplay without including Spider-Man. What the fuck?
Not to be pessimistic, but the way they sold it, part of what had to happen was Eddie Brock and the fiancé. Mm-hmm. That's why we got the fiancé originally, because that is such a pivotal piece that was emotionally powerful enough to give credence to the idea that a Venom was the vindication he needed, to borrow the imagery from earlier. Yep. So the problem there, though, is that as the trailer is already, you know, given us, we still have the fiancé, you know, tab to deal with in the storybook. Yeah, you know?
That's true.
So I don't know what that's going to merit. I think that's going to be how they develop, like, the character growth this go around, because we see them making fun of that in the movie. It's like, don't be a pussy. Yeah. You know? It's like, he's quote-unquote okay with the chick that he was going to get back with at the end of Venom 1, all of a sudden not being back with him, but some other, like, pushover schmuck, you know?
Yeah.
Some other, like, got his life together, but boring as fuck vanilla dude, you know? Like, that cliche characteristic. And then he's like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And then all of a sudden, you know, Venom's like, this guy's a pussy. Let's just eat him. Come on. You know, whatever he said, I can't remember. But you get the point, you know? So chances are they're going to use that in the writing. And this is me just doing my guessing right here and now, just to throw it on the table. I don't know why I had to clap and slide to do that. But, like, this is probably just going to be the beginning of the character growth that Eddie will go through.
Yeah, you're probably right. That does remind me also of another, and I'm going to say that this is a minor thing. Let me know if I'm wrong with this or not. But
absolutely,
I think another, you know, potential minor issue that we have here with Venom and Eddie is, you know, with me reading a lot more of Venom's early days, a lot more of his earlier stories here within the past few weeks.
Okay.
I was reminded of something that is not included in the movies, but I think should be, and that is there's a lot of disagreements between the symbiote and Eddie in the movie. Like, they're always kind of at odds.
Yeah, and half the time it's for comedic value, but you're right.
That defeats the purpose of a symbiotic bond. They bond together because they are of one mind, which is why we are Venom. You know, like they think alike.
Yeah.
You know, they share ideas. They share goals. You know, they want the same thing. And when they're at odds with each other, you know, it's hard for them to function properly. Whereas with this, it's like they're just kind of like an old married couple who are always arguing, bickering back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's like, how's that bond coming?
Oh, we hate each other, but we love each other.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sorry, how long have you been married?
I just remember another fun fact. With Venom, it's always we are Venom, but with Carnage, she always refers to himself singular. I am Carnage. Which I think just kind of leads credence to the fact that the bonding process is on such a molecular level that it's even more more intrinsically tied than, say, Eddie and Venom.
I'm sorry to say this, but you know what that just kind of sold for me?
What's that?
Unfortunately, brother, I think that you and the storyboard, the gentlemen and ladies who were put in charge of writing the story for the movie, I think that's where you guys are going to differ in thought as well. I sense the undertones, or maybe even the cliche of
well, no, we can learn how to work together, and that's how we're going to overcome you, because we're better together, Venom, Carnage, and Carnage, you know. Oh, man. It sounds lame as fuck, doesn't it? Yeah. Luckily, I don't have a lot of stake in that claim, just like a small stake. I have like, okay, I put like a little small $5 chip on that, which I don't think even exists in Vegas. I think it might be like, what, a $10 chip? Is that a thing? I don't know. I've never gambled in Vegas.
Yeah, I feel like gambling would just highly heighten my anxiety. Like, man, this isn't fun at all. I might lose money.
Thank goodness that's not your vice. Right. Thank goodness it's not either of our vices. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Because then you couldn't be a completionist with your comic books.
Yeah, couldn't be a completionist with anything.
No.
Including bills.
Bro, what about rent? You just lost $5,000.
Bro, can you cover rent
this month? Nah, dog. Good luck getting home.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so like as far as this movie goes, and again, I do want to reiterate, I think one advantage it has over the first one is being able to skip over the messy origin story stuff.
Amen.
And because I think we can both agree that like that was kind of more the weak points of the first one. Like, you know, you have a problem when Spider-Man 3 does something better than your current movie. Yeah.
Damn.
But I think, though, that with this movie, I think it's going to deliver on the action. You do have me curious about, like, the resolution. Like, how are you going to be able to defeat Carnage? And secondly, how are you going to differentiate Carnage from Riot? Because, like, to the person who doesn't really know, you know, Spider-Man or Venom that well, they may just say, what makes this red one different from the gray one?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I do have a question to ask, and I'm going to use this as a bit of a segue, I suppose, into Cletus himself. Is he a cannibal?
Cletus Cassidy?
Mm-hmm. Like, was he ever a cannibal in the pages?
It's possible, but I can't think of any recollections. I'm not saying he didn't, but he
could. I mean, he sounds crazy enough that it's making a second guess, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he is, but.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the movie, I'm sensing that that's the direction they're going in, you know, that he is cannibalistic, and thus one of the other leaflets as to why he's able to align himself mentally and physically with his symbiote so much more easily, because symbiote likes to eat living shit. Oh, well, so do I. I eat people, and I am people, you know, so it's like, oh, man, well, yeah, fuck it, let's just eat all these people.
Well, I do want to see this. Just from the trailers, it looks like they're handling Carnage's origin a lot smoother than how they did Venom's.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, you know, thank goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we kind of see a little bit of the trailer, and this is me, you know, damn me for potentially spoiling something, but I'll go ahead and say it. It looks like, for some dumbass reason, our boy Eddie gets way too damn close. Cletus takes a bite of that wrist, goes fucking zombie on it, and realizes, I've had a lot of blood in my time, but that was some fucked up sangria, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then one thing leads to another. Originally, I was kind of like against the idea of the bite itself would be powerful enough to create a second symbiote. However, in hearing about how it was a baby symbiote, an offspring that was able to also coincide through blood, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I'll change my mind. That's some good fucking evidence. Fuck yeah. So I'm on team. If the bite changes him, makes sense.
Bite makes right.
Now, yeah, because he bites, contact with blood, boom, he's cool. Yeah, yeah, okay. But yeah.
We'll see. Now, you know, we've been talking about Spider-Man, and I'm sure you probably heard the rumors, but apparently either Spider-Man is going to, in some fashion, make an appearance in Venom 2. Spoiler alert, potential spoiler alert.
Too late now.
Or the other rumors that Venom in some fashion is going to appear in Spider-Man 3, but more of the rumors have been leaning towards the former, being that in some fashion there will be a Spider-Man sighting in Venom 2. What do you think about those rumors, and if so, what fashion do you think Spider-Man appears?
One, the prospect is excites me because that means that they're confident enough to set up Venom 3. Mm-hmm. And then two, I believe that if he does appear, it is for the entire value of, count it with me, okay? Count along with me, all okay? Right. This is going to be like Count Dracula from, you know, Sesame Street, not a sponsor. One scene. Still the one scene. No, just the one scene. Mm. If you couldn't get the fucking bit. So, yeah, I think for one scene, I might see two. One of Peter Parker and later one of actual Spidey.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. I'd like that a lot.
And let me ask you this.
Know if they want to pay Tom Holland that much.
I was going to say, let me ask you this. Which Spider-Man is it, though? I think it could be Andrews.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. Ooh. Wow. The book just got a lot thicker.
Yeah,
the book just got... Oh, man. It would have to be Andrews or Tom's, or right?
Potentially Tom's. Yeah.
I mean, potentially either. Potentially, like, I would say 50-50 chance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because of... Andrew. He'd be cheaper to pay than Tom Holland. Yeah, no offense, Andrew.
And the only reason that what I go with Andrew is because obviously we know what Peter's Venom looks like. Peter's like, I killed mine. Toby's like, I killed my Venom.
Yeah, Toby. Yeah.
You know, with Tom Holland, the MCU is so vast, it would be interesting that Venom 1 to have any kind of, you know, sighting or mentions of any other superheroes when they live in a world that's full of them. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about Andrew Garfield, like his Peter Parker, his world was the smallest. Like, we knew the least about the outside mm-hmm. of his New York City and what his world contained. It could, you know, potentially be something like that.
Yeah.
It's hard to say, though. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of different possibilities. And, I mean, I got to be honest. At this point, I am so lost as to, like, the relationship between Marvel and Sony. You know, there's rumors that Spider-Man 3 be the last Tom Holland film. That Sony and Marvel aren't really gelling together anymore. I mean, who fucking knows? Like, who knows? I certainly don't. But what I do know is that Marvel, DC, Disney and Sony both really like money. So mm-hmm. they're going to find a way to work it out.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Seeing Spider-Man and like, do you think it'd be a post-credit scene or something that happens in the movie if it happens?
My hope is that it happens mid-movie, somewhere actually. Kind of like, remember Guardians 1 when they showcased Thanos and used him to help push the story along?
Right.
Yeah, that happened in the middle of the movie. They didn't wait for a post-credit scene. That would be better and much more valuable. Mm. We all get our rocks off on the post-credit scene. It's so cool.
Yeah.
Why do you think so many people across the country know, oh, the credits are rolling, where's your bitch ass going? This movie isn't over yet. Yeah. You know? There's post-credit shit. Yeah. Or even mid-credit stuff. So, that's cool. But the value in that literally begins and ends with the credits, where it's like, oh, this is the expectation that there's going to be a setup for the next movie.
Cool. Mm.
You can set up more cleverly using other characters, using Tom Holland again, sure, whatever the case may be. But really, something to help make this story much more impactful is to use Tom Holland to push the plot along as well. You know? Let him be touring the fucking publication office where like the news reporting area that Eddie works with or something. That'd be really cool, you know. And yes, of course, I'm talking Tom or Andrew at this point. It's interchangeable. Just because of the evidence is laid forth before us. But it would be really cool to have that help push the story along, even if it's only like a minimal bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that at least would be a more fun and better utilization of a character cameo than, oh, by the way, we're here to put asses in seats and seats and asses. And here's a Spider-Man cameo at the credits. And it's like, well, I had to put up with the whole movie, which in this case could be really cool or really eventful and fun or just kind of meh to get this, you know. Yeah. What about you? What are your thoughts?
So I really dig your way of thinking here, but if I had to play devil's advocate, I would say the potential downfall to having Spider-Man being like actually in the movie and like, you know, in the midway point, how do you top that? And I don't know if you can. If you can have him be in one scene in the middle of the movie and then continue on and have our focus not be on, man, I wonder if Spider-Man's going to come back for this third act. Okay, he didn't. Well, all right.
I could see that. I don't know. Like, there's more clever minds than mine that can put it together. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, I wouldn't ever give Spider-Man the spotlight for long. Mm-hmm. I would make it a thing. And then maybe make them appear together.
Mm.
That way, we don't forget, oh yeah, this is still Eddie's story.
Yeah.
You know? But I can see what you're coming from, too. Where it's like, man, that scene, though, I don't remember what else happened. But that scene, though, you know. Yeah. They'd have to have a lot of confidence in the rest of their movie to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's them big Kevin Feige balls right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think the difference with Thanos and Guardians 1 was that, at that time, general audience still didn't really know who Thanos was yet. It's just so fucking funny to think about now in retrospect.
It really is, yeah.
But either way, I think that I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, if there is any kind of Peter sightings, you know. I mean, I said what I said.
You son of a bitch. A cop listening to our podcast on the middle in the middle of his work day. Any Peter sightings? He just goes, huh? What the fuck? Dispatch, we have ourselves a perverted podcaster coming in.
Like, aren't they all? It's also important to remember Morbius, the movie that was pushed back to early next year.
Yeah.
In that trailer, we see a Spider-Man cameo. Like, what the fuck?
Mm.
And that Spider-Man looks more like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. So there's interesting shit being done, and who knows what changes are being made.
What do you think are the chances that in both Morbius and maybe even Venom 2 as well, that the Spider-Man we get is purely like a CG?
I think pretty high.
That's unfortunate, though. That makes me a little sad. It's like, yeah, Spider-Man showed up. Cool, cool, cool. But then it's like, oh, man. They went the cheap way.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'll be fine with it if we still get some dialogue.
Like, but then who voices?
Whichever Peter they want.
Hmm. Whichever Peter they want. You son of a bitch.
And you know, one wild card that we have not mentioned yet as far as which Spider-Man.
Which Peter are you expecting, bud?
What about Miles?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
That would be the ball from fucking left field.
Right.
I mean, we're playing baseball, and that'd be a fucking football coming in out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Huh. Ah, yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it'd be like the biggest mind fuck if we just offhand hear mention that, yeah, you know, shit ain't been the same since Spider-Man died. Like, wait, Spider-Man died? And then here, well, yeah, but you hear there's a new one, right? And then we get a Miles sighting. Like, you know, who?
Okay, yeah. Okay. Admittedly, that would be pretty cool. I don't believe they have the gumption to pull that off.
Yeah, that's that'd be some pretty heavy shit, especially for Sony. But even though Sony is working in conjunction with Marvel Disney, that'd still be tricky to pull off.
That would be very tricky because then it's like, I'm sorry, which one of the universes is this? Mm-hmm. You know,
that's the problem.
That's a big problem.
That's the problem with opening up the multiversal stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the more that you introduce, then like the more potentially confusing it can all get.
Potentially? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot out of little.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like we haven't talked a lot about Carnage yet in a movie that's supposed to be all about him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So how do you think they're going to differentiate Carnage from Riot this time?
First off, I'm trying to remember Riot's plot. Wasn't he trying to create more symbiotes, like
in the comics? I'm trying to remember too.
There was like a rocket or something at the end that they were trying to like shoot off to create more symbiotes.
What was the fucking plot with that rocket?
I don't remember.
Me either. I need to rewatch that movie before I see Venom 2.
I would agree. I'd be down to rewatch that.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I think the plot of Venom 2 is going to be a lot smaller. I think it's going to be like just stopping Venom 2 from doing what he
still
wants to do.
Stopping Carnage from...
Yes, excuse me. Thank you. Stopping Carnage from doing what he wants to do, which I'm sure is going to be just eating everybody and everything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, chaos for the sake of chaos. That is kind of his, that's kind of his thing, yeah. I guess it is also important to mention that these rumors have died down, but I don't think that they're not true. I do think that the rumors are true. The rumors that Scream will be in this movie.
Okay.
I think that we will see another symbiote from the Lethal Protector arc in this movie. Now, she's one that starts off as a villain, and then she kind of becomes, you know, kind of a bit of an anti-hero. Oh, okay. So not really sure which route she goes in this film.
Watch. She's what helps to fight Carnage at the fucking end.
I was going
to
say probably that, because I imagine Eddie needing all the help he can get.
Yeah.
Carnage don't need no help.
Now, Carnage don't need no shit.
He's a strong, independent symbiote who don't need no help.
Wow.
Yeah, so that is a possibility that we do get Scream in this film.
Do you think we'll get Lady Venom again?
Lady Venom.
Yeah, remember there was like tiny scene, one quick ass moment. Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Mm.
I don't think so. I can't really see the
purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that hasn't stopped movies in the past. So,
rule cool, baby. Rule cool. Sell it because people like it. That's why.
Yes.
Which, I don't know if people really like it, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, a few people would be like, oh, Venom got tits all of a sudden. Okay.
So, we also know that Sony is also planning on moving forward with a Sinister Six movie.
Very cool.
Yes. And, while the Sinister Six has never really, you know, intrinsically been tied to Carnage or Venom, you know, seeing that neither one of them have ever really been members of it, I mean, who knows if they play a part in any of this as well? You know, especially seeing that rumors and trailers strongly suggest that the Sinister Six will be the primary threat in Spidey 3.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there's a lot going on, and who knows? Venom 2 may be more important to to the MCU than what people may think. Even though Venom technically isn't even a part of the MCU, So there's a lot of potential shit going on, man, and it's hard to really say what's going to happen. But I think that you are right as far as like the plot for Venom 2 goes. I don't really think there's a lot to discuss there, and I'm not even saying that that's a bad thing. I mean,
no. Like you can still have a strong movie.
Yeah, with a simple plot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with simple.
There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
No one ever said simple is bad.
No, definitely not.
It's just the fuck out of there.
How well is it executed?
Exactly.
Yeah, like John Wick has one of the simplest plots ever. I can watch that fucking movie all day.
This assassin is trying to, like, he's about to be assassinated, you know?
Yeah. So,
or if it's the first one, then they killed my dog.
Yeah. So I will fucking slaughter all of you. But, yeah, so the plot doesn't have to be anything, you know, convoluted or extravagant.
Nah,
complex.
Ain't nothing gotta be gargantuan.
Yeah. So I'm completely fine if it's just a simple plot line of Eddie trying to get a story out of Cletus Cassidy and Cletus getting blood from Eddie and that spawning Carnage, and then Carnage breaks free, and then Eddie and the Venom symbiote have to find a way to stop Carnage, and that's the story. I mean, fuck it.
I mean, we've done our job. So let's go home, you know? It's like, never mind. But yeah, that's literally like, all right, well, today's a short day. Bravo. We came up with a great story. All right. And we'll come back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Done.
Yeah. And it started, and like, the more I think about it, maybe the Scream cameo comes from Eddie and, Carnage and Venom's first fight. Venom gets his ass kicked. Realizes that, okay, we need help. And Eddie's like, what you want to do is a fucking terrible idea. And and Venom's like, well, no, we need to do Eddie, we need to do this. And then we get the...
It's fun being Venom voice, isn't it?
maybe that's, you know, why Tom Hardy chooses to do it.
Really? He's Venom voice too?
He is.
Yep. Hell yeah, that makes me happy. That means that all those ridiculous lines he says, is him.
It's him. It's all him.
Then you'll be just rolling around without arms and legs.
Like a turd.
Like a turd.
In the wind.
That explains it. Okay. Yeah. I could hear it now.
It is also important to mention that the same director from the first one is coming back to do this one. Andy Serkis, again.
Cool.
This shit still blows my mind. Andy Serkis, who directed the first one, is directing this one. So go Andy, get that money.
Go Andy, get that money.
Get that money. Andy, he's all over the fucking superhero realm. He's like, yeah, I'm going to play Ulysses Klaue in Black Panther. Yeah, I'm going to direct Venom 1 and 2. Yeah, I'm going to be Alfred in the new Batman movie. Like, he's just all over the place, man.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think that's about as far as like the plot's going to be. I think that maybe the... Potentially the coolest bet would be if Peter Parker shows up in the movie, but I think the safest bet would be that Peter shows up in the post-credit scene.
That's the safest bet, but the coolest agreed would be mid-movie, for sure. Like, I so badly do not want them to sting that shit till the end. Mm. Yeah.
I mean, unless, of course, it organically fits more in that spot.
True.
Than in the middle.
All information withholding, if that is where story-wise it would fit better. Like, we just hear, like, Nick Fury help break some shit down for him, and he's like, I don't know, Nick. It's somewhere around here, and he's, like, trying to find, like, the evidences of this potential ally who's actually, no, fuck you, Spider-Man, I hate you. You know? I don't know. Again, more creative minds than mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we do know that Sony does plan on doing a Venom 3, and so whatever happens, we can expect the post-credit scenes to somehow set up for that. So with the Spider-Man sighting, do you think that could somehow lead to us seeing Venom getting, like, his full fucking Venom powers? Like, you know, spider emblem, web slinging,
you know.
See, that would be a cool end of movie shit right there. Mm. Like, that would be it where he's like, there's a disagreement or something dramatic happens that really, like, reinfocuses Eddie and Venom. And all of a sudden, like, Eddie's just like, hey, I got an idea. Let's try something. And then all of a sudden, like, the emerging of the first Venom webbing. And then, like, okay, we start to copy and paste a little bit there, you know? That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Or maybe he, like, sees Spider-Man on the news, and that gives him a new battle tactic, and that's where he gets, like, the upgrade for webbing.
Yeah, but you get it. Or, you know, because my brain, I can't leave it alone how it's so hard for them to kind of do damage control at this point with what they've done with Venom. And like I think maybe the way that they can kind of mitigate some of the damages is, I mean, totally not going to happen. I have zero faith in this, so don't think that I'm saying this as like an actual theory, but something that would be, that would help, I think, is in the third act. Like, we get a Peter Parker sighting midway through the movie.
Awesome.
We know that he exists here.
Hell yeah.
Boom. Third act, Venom's getting his ass kicked, but he knows what he needs to do, and he's trying to get it done. But he doesn't know if he'd be able to. Spider-Man comes in, saves the day, gets it done. Spider-Man gets the glory. Everyone sees it. That sets up the animosity from Venom to Peter. And now,
I can see that.
You know.
Mm-hmm. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
I feel like there'd have to be at least one more ingredient in the pot to sell the hatred, but I could see something like that, you know? Especially remembering that there's going to be leaflets of, like, a comedic relation between Eddie and Venom that might be enough to set them off, you know? And because of the rule of comedy, makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Or maybe it's also, maybe not only is it framed that Peter, you know, inadvertently gets the glory, but maybe it's also framed to make Venom look like a threat to society.
Which, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, we saw how he scared that grandmother he saved.
Yeah. So there's ways to do it, man. And I think that everyone can agree also that unless they really can pull some Hollywood movie magic, there's no way that Venom should be able to beat Carnage in a one-on-one.
Agreed. Not at this stage, not at this point.
Yeah.
Especially not in a Carnage origin movie. So, hell no. Yeah.
So, there's a couple of just cool thoughts and theories I had on the matter.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Either way, I'm excited. Definitely going to go support this movie, see what's in store for us. It'll be nice to go back to the theater. It feels like it's been a minute.
Oh, yeah. Well, I should be in theaters for quite a while. I believe the following week, brother, we have James Bond, 007, No Time to Die.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Dude, I forgot about some James Bond shit up man. There. Yeah.
And then I think the following week we have Halloween, the sequel to the 2018 Halloween film.
Yeah, with Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah. That'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. And there's probably something else coming out, too, that I'm not thinking about. I think The King's Man comes out sometime around the same time period as well.
I would believe that.
Yeah. So we have a lot of work cut out for us, which reminds me, homies, go to patreon.com/superherohomies to get all of our cool non-superhero-related content. So if you guys like free-flowing conversations like this, but with shit that is not superhero-related, then that is the spot to go. We cover video games, other movies, TV shows, all of the such and the likes, and we promise that you will enjoy it. For $1 to $3 a month, you guys can support us there. Again, that is patreon.com/superherohomies.
Hell yeah. And as always, guys, earlier we mentioned leaving a review. That is another way, a simple way to even support your boys. Any type of review supports the amalgam, algorithm in order to help push us even further in the popularity of these streaming services. So please and thank you for all the awesome reviews, preferably 5-star. We love to be a Michelin-rated podcast, so, you know, that's a thing. And Thank you guys for listening, as always.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am.
Would you homies believe that there are other podcasts out there coming out every day who try to follow our footsteps, who want to be in our lane, covering superhero nerd content, comic books, superhero TV shows and movies and whatnot? Everybody wants to be a homie so bad, but don't everybody want to do what a homie has to do?
Amen.
That is the difference. I have listened to a lot of these other podcasts. I have heard them. I have listened to see if there's any worthy of joining us on a joint episode. I have ventured beyond the wall, and I've seen the White Walkers.
Wow. Wait a minute. Where's
this going? my point is, some of these are really good. But maybe I'm biased. I'm absolutely biased. None of them are as good as us. And there's a reason for that. And you guys are a big part of that reason. So thank you again for all of your support, and your continued support will only help us out. So thank you again for all of that. But I think that's all I got for this, my friend. You have any other thoughts, theories on Venom 2?
No, I'm good, brother, man. I'm anxious to see what this one's got. So yeah, we'll go into it good.
Well, all right, then. That would be all for this one. Homies, thank you guys again for listening in. As always, we appreciate you. If you have any kind of questions, comments, skills, thirst, food, supplies, then hit us up at superherohomies@gmail.com or any of our social media outlets. We are always active, live, and listening. Mm-hmm. But until next time, and by next time, I mean later on this week when we cover Venom 2, my name is Superhero Homie Q.
And I am Superhero Homie Kevin.